Yes Live Show on UK Health Radio. My name's Robin Daly, host for the show and founder of the UK charity Yes to Life, that helps people with cancer to find out about the many benefits of integrative medicine. I was excited recently to stumble across an initiative in India that, although, like everything in India, on a very different scale to here in the UK, it shares much of the ethos and thinking behind Yes to Life and our mission. The organisation is called Love Heals Cancer. So I got in touch and I'm delighted to be able to welcome Dimple Palmer, the woman behind it, onto the show today. Dimple, a big welcome to the Yes to Life show.
Thanks, Robin. It's a pleasure to be here on this platform.
Great. So it's really brilliant to be able to interview people from as far away as India for me to hear what's happening over there. You're the founder of an organisation called Love Heals Cancer. And by the way, I love the name of your organisation. And your aims are really very similar to our own at Yes to Life. So what you're doing in India, as you say on your website, is small things to help people with cancer with great love, practicing kindness and spreading generosity in the world. Fabulous aim. So much as at Yes to Life and countless other charitable organisations, your own experience of difficulty and loss was to be the catalyst for a focused initiative to bring about change, in this case, into cancer care. So would you mind starting off by telling us about the beginnings of Love Heals Cancer?
Definitely, Robin. So Love Heals Cancer, we started in 2018 when I lost my husband and loved one to cancer. So before that, I didn't know what is cancer or how complicated it can be. So we were just students, me and my friend Nitesh at MBA school. We were doing MBA and that was the time he was diagnosed with cancer. So when doctor told us that it's colorectal cancer, third stage, and we went to the treatment together. And in the same journey, we fell in love. He went to the standard treatment, radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery. After that, we thought that finally we'll begin a new chapter of our lives and all the difficult days are over. The last 1 year was really, really tough for us because everything was happening first time and we had no idea how to navigate through this. So in 2017 is when his treatment got over. And we were about to begin another phase of our lives. And he went for a casual checkup. And that checkup, doctor asked him to go for MRI. And we got to know that the cancer has come back. And this time it is stage 4. So doctors told him that you have only 6 months to live, no matter what you do. And that came as a big shock because, because we didn't expect that, it would happen so soon or it will happen at all. So we went through another phase of treatment and got to know many things that can be done in this journey, this experience to make life better and to hope for the best clinical outcome. So tried, explore many things in US as well, clinical trials, complementary therapies, medical treatment, and a lot of other spiritual practices as well. Unfortunately, we lost Nitesh in March 2018. And that was the time that I decided to dedicate my life for this cause. Because after going through this journey, my life was completely transformed. And I just felt that we had access to great resources and still we struggled and suffered a lot. And if you think about millions of other people who are going through similar journey, but they don't have right kind of guidance or the support, then how can we provide them support and give them hope? With that purpose, with that mission, I started Love Heals Cancer. And the name, we found it because in Nitesh's journey, maybe the cure didn't happen, but I know that he was healed. And what healed him was people's love, my love, God's love, nature's love, and lots of love and blessings that we received from thousands of people across the globe. So yes, he did heal, and hence the name Love Heals Cancer.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for telling me that. So the vision of Love Heals Cancer is improving the quality of life and extending life for cancer patients and their caregivers through integrative oncology therapies. So as I said, that could have been on the Yes to Life website. So we're very much looking at the same territory. Can you say some more about exactly how you're helping people and why you've chosen to help in these particular ways rather than something more traditional like fundraising for cancer research or something?
Right. So very important question, Robin, because in cancer patient journey, there are n number of needs that they can have, starting from emotional support, fundraising, which doctor to meet, how to improve quality of life, what to eat, where to go, whom to meet, how to get low cost treatment and palliative care. How do I, if it's end of life, then how do I die peacefully, and or how do I stop recurrence from coming back? So there are the needs are unlimited in cancer, and we decided to when we started, we decided that we are going to work on the complementary therapies, because what I felt in my experience and also a lot of research in cancer that there are a lot of information on medical treatment across, and medical treatment is pretty standard as well, where there are certain guidelines that oncologists follow. But when it comes to cancer, medical treatment is very important, and we need to do that. But then that might not be it. There are a lot of things that we also need to explore to find out what are the choices that I have and what are the decisions that I make to improve my quality of life, to manage the side effects, and to get the best clinical outcome of my treatment. So while we were very sorted on the medical front, we had the best oncologist and the labs and diagnostics and whatnot. But we struggled a lot on improving the quality of life, because that's where maximum struggle happened, where he lost 40 kilos of weight, and he had very bad side effects. And a lot of people, well-wishers, were giving us a lot of advices that do this, do that, but nobody knew why and how. So that's where, and we were running out of time, so we didn't know like what decisions to make, and we made decisions what we just felt at that time was right. And today I know that many of them, those were wrong decisions. So and when it comes to cancer, where there is no single pill solution or cure, we need to find out how do we find the balance between mainstream and complementary treatment, and combining it, we call it integrative oncology. So I felt that when I also went to US for my husband's treatment and exploring options in clinical trial as well, I felt that more adoption to integrative oncology, more research in that front. And there are 100 types of complementary therapies, but not all 100 are good for all 100 types of cancer patients. So one needs to see what is the scientific backing, what is the research done, and what is your wellness formula. So I felt that the need is much more on that front. When I came back to India and I started Loving's Cancer, I started interacting with many more patients and caregivers, and this was the constant need that they had. Yes, funds and emotional support is always the need that they have, but I think that still can be managed. But this was something where they struggled every day: what to eat, what not to eat, what supplements to take, where to go, whom to meet. And that's where I felt that we are all are lost, and we are on our own trying to figure out that what is my wellness formula, what therapies do I do. Hence, we decided that we are going to work on the complementary therapies first. And because there are already cancer patients and who really need it, right now they are doing it maybe in the wrong manner. So if we can, guide them in the right direction with scientific evidence, then that will be great. So that's how this began.
Interesting. So, your trip to America, do you think that very much influenced your thinking that made you decide to go in this direction? Because, of course, integration is much further ahead in America than many other places.
Definitely, because when I was in India, and a lot of people were telling me about complementary therapies, and I overlooked it, because I felt that, okay, how many things a patient can do? They can't do all of these things, and can this really be cure? So I didn't believe in that at the first. But when I went to America and I talked to other survivors and also read some scientific papers and met some scientists as well, then I actually understood the difference between curing and healing. The difference between telling that yes, it will cure you, versus telling that it will definitely improve your quality of life, and in the process you may get cured. So I understood those minute things that that this the certain decisions that we make in this entire treatment journey. I met some amazing people who have been working in this field of integrative oncology, those doctors who are oncologists, and also they are practicing integrative therapies. which is again totally scientific evidence based. And that's how my interest or inclination towards this happened. And also met Dr. Michael Lerner, who is the founder of Commonweal in America. Yeah, so he's my mentor, and that was the seed of plant that he planted that day when I met him around 5 years back, and 4 years back, sorry. And that's how the and I remember that Michael gave me this advice that, Dimple, you are in the beginning of your journey, and two advices for you. One is there is no specific approach in cancer. It's not like, okay, only medical will help or only alternative will help. It's always a combination of two together to see what works best. And that's the most safest approach. There is no right or wrong answer in cancer, but this is the less risky and the more safe approach. That's one. And secondly, he said that build more evidence and data around integrative oncology. So when you work with patients, do track their quality of life, how their side effects improved by taking this. And we are there's a long way to go when it comes to integrative. We are still trying to bring more scientific evidence-based practices into this, but that's the way to begin. So that's how my journey began.
Fantastic. Well, we're both Michael Lerner fans. I heard about Michael Lerner very early on in the life of Yesterlife. And curiously enough, I interviewed him yesterday for this show. So, yeah. Anyway, he's fantastic, isn't he? The stuff he's done is just amazing. And he's so far ahead of his time. Yeah. Genius. Anyway, great. All right. Thank you for explaining all that. So, yeah, I see you also write that your purpose is to help cancer patients, caregivers, and their families in their healing journey by counseling them on these science-based integrative oncology therapies and connecting them with like-minded community for support. So, again, I would be pleased to see those exact words on our website. But so I feel a complete affinity with your intentions. I want to talk a little bit now about this aspect of connecting people with like-minded community for support. We also feel this is enormously important, and we have our own initiative, which is called Wigwam, which is exactly for this. Can you say what's led you to make this a central part of your work and how you deliver it?
Yeah, so we have thousands of cancer survivors and caregivers who have gone through the journey. And in my journey, thousands of people supported us. So when I was beginning Loving's Cancer, I sent out this email to everybody that I'm starting this. Thank you so much for supporting in my journey. And let's together help cancer patients. So many people came forward, and we formed this wonderful community of Loving's Cancer, where there are cancer patients and caregivers, survivors, and cancer experts. So whenever a new patient comes in, we onboard them on the community, and that's a beautiful place for people to learn from each other's experiences and help each other what worked for them. And especially people want to connect with similar cancer type survivors. So because what worked for breast cancer, a colon cancer patient may not understand, and two are very different kind of diseases, though the cancer is there, but then can be different treatment protocol as well. So now what we are doing mapping in the sense that, okay, if somebody comes on the community, and then they can actually see that with Dimple, they may have 95% match. If the patient is colorectal cancer patient, 27 years of age group, and MSI status, and so on and so forth. So we are doing based on what is your cancer profile. So my profile is that caregiver, colorectal cancer, and genetic mutation, whatever mutation was there, et cetera, et cetera. So a new person will be able to see 90% match with Dimple, 90% match somebody else, and would want to connect with me. So that way they get to know that whom to connect. And then I may be able to guide that person in the right direction, because I've gone through colon cancer journey and I've learned a lot about it, did a lot of research on this. So initially we were doing this all manually, where we have recorded stories of 1,000+ people who have gone through cancer, and that's a part of our project called Cancer Healing Journey. So we take interviews of caregivers and survivors, and write an article on that story, and also we make a podcast similar to this. and also videos on YouTube. So people really get inspired listening to other people's stories and how they overcome this. So similarly, we thought that how about that now we connect our community members who are also our brand ambassadors to the newly diagnosed patients so that there is a mutual learning and sharing. And when they are entering into this whole new world of cancer, there is somebody who can be their companion and navigate them through the entire experience. So that's how we formed this community. And especially when somebody goes through cancer experience, they always want to give back to society. They want to help other people as much as they can because they understand that the need of being there for somebody, how much it is important. So many other people who have gone through, they come back to us and they say that I want to give back. How do I support others? And that's where
Right.
we onboard them on the community. Yeah.
Understand. So this is like a buddy scheme, you like a one-to-one where you're pairing up people, and so they get somebody who they can turn to for a lot of information and support. Excellent. Very good. Yeah, we have something like that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And do you have any way in which you're working with people in groups for support?
Yeah, we do have. We have healing circles. So
All
that
right.
was again started by Michael Lerner. So the got the inspiration and started healing circles in India. So healing circle is a space we create where caregivers and survivors come together to talk to each other, to share each other's experiences, and just be there for each other. So we do have. Before we were doing offline, but during COVID we moved online.
Yeah,
And
I see.
yeah, so we are still doing it virtually, but soon going to start offline as well.
Right. Yeah, we did both. We kept the original groups. We had some before COVID, and they all stayed in touch, managed online, and then they've gone back to meeting in person again. But yeah, I think both platforms have got a lot to offer people. I mean, certainly the people who meet in person who are able to absolutely love it. But of course, for some people, if they're very isolated or that maybe they are too ill to leave home, it's a fantastic advantage to be able to meet online. So yeah, great. All right, so can we talk a little bit more about your approach now? You follow a wellness protocol that's described on the Zen Onco IO website. So this is the website of Zen Integrative Cancer Clinic in Bangalore. So can you tell us about your relationship with this clinic between Love Heals Cancer and ZenOnco.io?
Right. So Love Heals Cancer is our non-profit arm that we started first. And with Love Heals Cancer, we realized that the need is much more. And people are still looking for a more personalized solution to their cancer journey. So not always the fundraise or the emotional support or the nutritional and groceries that we were distributing is the need. The need is much more than that. And that's where people looking for more personalized solutions that, okay, which oncologist to meet, where to go, or which test to do. There were some clinical questions as well that we were not able to answer. And also there were questions like, okay, can you share some anti-cancer diet program with me? So that's why I felt that, yes, I was also looking for the similar answers when I was the caregiver. So how about, and also Love Is Cancer was totally Love Is Cancer is dependent on the donations. So the moment you don't have donations, our activities kind of pause or stops. So we were primarily supporting below poverty line patients, couldn't even have basic necessities to live, like two times food and shelter and there's some food. So we were supporting patients with those requirements who came from far away places and villages to the metro cities for the treatment. But then there were other people who were also looking for support and some guidance. And that's where we felt that let's build something which is much more scalable, much more sustainable. And we are able to also, fulfill our vision, which is saving lives of cancer patients, and mission, which is improving quality of life and extending life wherever possible. So with that approach, we started Zenoncore.io, which is a venture-funded startup health tech platform to guide cancer patients' needs end-to-end. And they were now Zenoncore.io is supporting Lovell's Cancer. So during Corona, our funds also kind of dried up because the need was much more for COVID-affected patients. So Zenonco was supporting Lovell's Cancer in their activities. So that's how we make a balance between these two.
Right. And so the charity is referring people to the clinic in order to get advice. Now you say that the clinic has a network of 1,100 oncologists across 110 cities. This is massive. Are these regular oncologists, or are they people who have training in integrative medicine?
These are oncologists who provide chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery to cancer patients.
Right, so they're regular oncologists,
yeah.
But nonetheless, you're giving much broader advice than that. So who else is on board? You have a lot of other kind of practitioners, presumably.
Yeah, we have different kind of practitioners. Like we have onco-nutritionists who are anti-cancer diet experts who guide patients on the different diet programs and nutraceuticals and supplements. We have mind-body medicine experts who guide on mind-body medicine wellness. And we have emotional onco-psychologists. There's an emotional counselors, again, who are there for patients improving their willpower, providing them motivational support and comforting care. And we have Ayurveda experts who have been practicing Ayurveda for cancer patients and research also from last 40 years. And we have a cannabis expert as well, who is helping patients with pain management and different side effects management. So these are different doctors who are practicing into cancer care for cancer patients.
Roughly how many people are you assisting, both on the clinic side and through Love Heals Cancer? What can you give me some idea of the scale?
From the clinic side, Zenonco.io side, we have helped 50,000 plus cancer patients.
Wow.
And combining both Zenonco and Lovell's Cancer at 1.5 lakhs.
Wow, extraordinary numbers. But what you get in India, of course, is massive, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you know, we support people anywhere in the UK, and it seems like a big task for us. But, you know, the distances and the numbers of people you're looking at are vast. So do you manage to offer the same services to every part of the country?
Yes, we do. We have done this standardization among services across the cancer types and across the age groups, etc. And we provide the same services across India. So somebody who is in the same city, they visit us and at the center, at the clinic. And somebody who is not, we do virtual consultations for them. And then we dispatch the medicines, etc., what is needed. So thanks. Because of Corona, it was a blessing in disguise. Because of that, people became more tech-savvy. And those who were not using mobile phones, etc., for consultations earlier are now open to the idea and are using it.
Right.
So we are able to reach to those towns and villages as well because of that. That's
funny how that has really helped many situations, isn't it? This kind of move. The same thing is happening in the UK. You know, nobody, I don't think, had virtual consultations with a nutritionist. But of course, they work perfectly well. And now they all do. So, it's brought a big change. How interesting. So just the picture then overall between the two organisations is that the clinic is offering straightforward services to people who can afford it, and thereby it's able to support Love Heals Cancer in helping people who can't afford it.
Yeah, that's right.
Interesting circular arrangement. Yeah, very good. Okay. I'm interested now to talk a little bit about the culture. India is a very different culture to the UK. And first of all, I wanted to find out your opinion on how accepted the concept of integrative medicine is in India, firstly, maybe with the public.
Yes, I would say integrative oncology is not a common concept, but the therapies that come under integrative oncology is a very common concept. So the name wise,
Right.
people may not understand what is integrative oncology in that first go, but when you explain them, when you talk deep about it, it's essentially the things that you're already doing, but in a more systematic and a more scientific manner. So, and that was the part that I realized when in my treatment, the caregiving journey as well, that we were doing a couple of things already, but we were doing it randomly without really understand that what will work and what has worked for, other people and according to the science as well. So yoga, Ayurveda, mind body wellness, community support, all these things already existed and it still does. But then not in a very standardized and systematic manner. So that's what we bring in. When we talk first about integrative oncology to doctors and patients, we have to educate and explain them what it is and how we find a balance between these hundreds of therapies that exist out there for you, and then what are the top 10 that you need to do, which will show good benefits. So the concept already existed, but we need to redefine it and reshape it to be able to put out there in a more better manner in the form of a protocol or a wellness program.
I understand. And how about with professionals? The concept of integrative medicine, is it at all accepted?
Not among all. We still struggle with a few doctors when we talk about this. So two ways to look at this. There will be a particular group of doctors who will be okay with the wellness programs, but not okay with the ingestibles. Anything that you have to eat, which is the Ayurvedic medicines or supplements or nutraceuticals. While there's other group of doctors who will be fine with both wellness programs like the meditation, yoga, breathing, exercise, emotional wellness, mind body medicine. They'll be fine with that as well as they'll be fine with medical cannabis, Ayurveda and all. So I would say young doctors are more open to it and also
Right.
like understanding and educating themselves about it. But a few still a long way to go. So many times we hear from patients that our doctors told us not to do it. So what do we do? And then we educate them, but then of course it's their choice. Ultimately, we talk to their doctors when it's possible, and we do tell them about what we are doing and how we do it. Yeah.
Interesting. So, also interested to know the whole description of integrative oncology includes quite a lot of things which are some of them are very familiar to you in India because of Ayurveda and things, but other things are very Western in a way, like hyperbaric oxygen, say, or something like that. How many of those get included in the kind of things that are on offer in India?
In terms of the
Yeah.
therapies, right? So we do talk about anti-cancer diet, different kind of supplements like lycopene, beta-glucan, curcumin, omega-3, etc. We talk about Ayurveda, Tibetan medicine, Chinese medicine. When it comes to also medical cannabis, when it comes to mind-body medicine, we talk about breathing, meditation, energy exercise, and movement therapies, pranic healing, Reiki as well. And also in terms of the oxygen therapies, we have ozone therapy, hyperbaric oxygen, HBOT therapy, and people also look for vitamin C, IV therapy as well. So all in all, I see like 100 plus kind of therapies that different people do. Yeah.
Right, but a similar range to what you could expect over here. And something like somebody wants a high dose intravenous vitamin C, how far are they likely to have to travel to get that?
Yes, so vitamin C IV is not available in all the cities. Firstly, people don't know about it. Secondly, even if they hear from somebody, they first ask like how to get it. So in very few cities it is available. So sometimes people have to travel like 400 or 500 kilometers to move to the
Right.
city, which can be very,
Yeah.
very tiring. Yeah.
a long way. Yeah, it's an issue, isn't it? Well, there are huge distances to deal with anyway. So, yeah, interesting.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You mentioned, obviously, several times Ayurveda. Now, Ayurveda, we don't have anything quite like that here in the UK, which is a tradition as long as that, which is such a broad approach to health, which has got so many different elements to it, which is a kind of system, you know, it's a system of medicine. The other thing that's unusual about India compared with here is the widespread use of homeopathy. Homeopathy here has had a very bad ride for the last 10 years or 15 years. They've been doing everything possible to completely and utterly smash it, but it's still going and it's still, you know, being very bullish about fighting back. But those two things are common in India. And so I wonder how much effect you think they have on the kind of acceptance of integrative medicine. You know, Ayurveda is a deep cultural style of medicine.
Ayurveda, not much. Or the reason behind is because many times people misunderstand this and take it as an alternative to cancer treatment. And that is where doctors are very skeptical about it and they don't want to talk about it because Ayurveda is a pretty known concept, known term in India, and everybody knows, like, okay, what is Ayurveda? But then some of the practitioners have been misusing it. And also, you know, the medicines, Ayurvedic medicines are not really all the time very pure. It has heavy metals. It has some kind of, you know, substances which shouldn't be there. And because of that, the outcomes are not good always. First is that because you may not know the what is trustworthy and authentic and credible medicine that I should take. Secondly, there are some patients who have been taking Ayurveda as an alternative to medical treatment. That I don't want to go for medical, so I will do Ayurveda. Now, because of that, there is a there is a negativity, there is an anger and frustration among doctor fraternity again about Ayurveda. That it should be like complementary, it shouldn't be alternative to medical treatment. And because of that, many people have lost their lives as well. So and that is where doctors say tell patients not to take it. So we also do Ayurveda, but it's only as a side effects management, not as a replacement of the medical treatment.
Right. Well, you know, this to me is one of the great things about integrative medicine is that, it all started off, a number of years back. It was just one side and the other. And it was a battle, basically. And the poor patient sitting in the middle wondering which way to look, you know. And the great thing about integrative medicine is actually the combination of the two. And I'd say one of the most exciting aspects that's coming to the fore more and more these days is how a simple natural intervention can actually improve both the effect and the experience of a traditional conventional treatment, which is extraordinary. You know, it's much more than you'd expect. And this to me is one of the great developments of integrative medicine. And so the longer the battle goes on, the worse. You know, we want to get over this battle and get to the point where collaboration produces much better results for the patients.
Right.
Okay, well, one thing I wanted to mention a little bit is that many of the people who are making the biggest waves in healthcare in the UK happen to be of Indian heritage. I mean, the leading person who you could say that about is Dr. Raghun Chatterjee, who there can't be many people who haven't heard of these days. But he's not alone. There are quite a few people who have Indian heritage who are pushing the boundaries on what medicine looks like in the UK. And I've sort of wondered, well, why? You know, why are these people in particular? And it seems to me that they're not so firmly in the sort of Western medical view box, you know, there. And I assume it's because of the cultural background of India, which has got deep roots in a lot of spiritual, psychological, emotional support, all sorts of approaches. I mean, you know, yoga is worldwide now, but where's it come from? It's come from there. And, you know, the same can be said of many other things. So I think it's, you know, it is a cultural thing. I'm just interested to hear what you think.
That's right. It's because of the culture and the way things, we have seen it since our childhood. So yoga, Ayurveda is like thousands of year old practices here in India. And I remember one time I asked Michael that, you know, 3 years back I asked him this question that, can you please connect me with somebody, you know, yoga, Ayurveda, something that I asked him. And he said that there is a saying in America that, you know, if you want to find something, look in your backyard. So,
Yeah, right.
So he's like, you are from India and there are like millions like there. So, like, yeah, you're right. So it started from here, the yoga, Ayurveda practices, and believe that, you know, somehow we lost touch of it in the modern lifestyle, and always like people look towards West for the modern practices and treatment and therapies, while when it comes to, you know, coming back to your root and following that lifestyle, we always go towards we call it sattvic lifestyle, or the yoga, pranayama, breathing, meditation, spiritual practices, Ayurveda, natural herbs and whatnot. So when it comes to, like, you know, rejuvenating your body, refreshing, rebooting, we start detoxification and these kind of, you know, therapies. So very well said. There are a lot of research institutes also in Ayurveda here in India, and have seen some really great results. So it's all about time to, you know, like write more research papers and do more work in this field. And there are some really great institutes who are doing some wonderful work in this, where they are working with patients and writing more research papers and evidence of how well integrative works together. Also, I know Dean Ornish, Dr. Ornish, so another wonderful soul, I would say. So his program, has been helping patients, cardiac patients, especially in prostate cancer, a lot by these practices.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I mean, I'm sure in India there's an awareness of how much the West has influenced India. It's certainly changed a lot in the last 50 years. But equally well, you know, some of those ancient practices of India, totally unexpectedly, you know, they pervaded all sorts of walks of life over here in a way, we'd never anticipated it. I mean, mindfulness, meditation and yoga and things like that are so much a common part of life now in the West. They're just completely accepted, you know, a part of life. So very surprising, and a huge influence on the way that people see business, they see, you know, health, all sorts of really important areas of life.
Very true. Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. So look, just got a little time left. Just wanted to maybe ask you about your plans for the future, what you're still hoping to achieve. I bet you're busy with some stuff.
Plan is vision. Vision is to save lives of cancer patients. And right now we are finding out different means and ways to achieve that. What we are achieving with a few patients, the good clinical outcomes, in some cases cure, in some cases a better quality of life is what we have achieved. How do we scale it up? How do we reach out to thousands and millions of more patients in doing that? The patients that we have currently, how do we provide the best patient experience that, you know, they feel good, they feel okay when they go through cancer journey, don't really have to struggle and suffer So our plan is to use technology to build sustainable solutions, scalable solutions, so that we are able to automate this entire patient journey. And if somebody wants to connect with somebody, or connect with oncologist, or make their notes, or arranging their medical records, or getting anti-cancer diet, or finding credible, trustworthy information in cancer, it should be available on their palm in the app. So one is that's what we are currently focusing on, so that we are able to help many more patients with technology. So we want to leverage technology as much as we can. Secondly, we are building more of the evidence and clinical outcomes. So we are recording and tracking all the clinical outcomes, what we are seeing in our patients. And so that, you know, we are able to build this evidence that, yes, it works. And these are the scenarios. So in whichever way we are able to contribute back to the science. And so our plan is to be provide more integrative therapies. We are not covering all 100 therapies. But how do we, you know, build these dictionaries where, okay, where are vitamin C IVs available in India, or hyperbaric oxygen is available in India? And as an organization, we also have to take responsibilities that we onboard credible and places where we know that even the patient visit, they will have good experience. So, so that's what we are doing currently, improving the patient experience. And also at the same time, more clinical evidence around it.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, the technology can definitely do an awful lot of the legwork for us these days, can't it? So it's it pays to invest in that. I mean, the process you talked about earlier of connecting to people with similar circumstances, that's it can be almost 100% technology, can't it, that does that work. It's very laborious otherwise, but with the technology, yeah, it's effortless almost. So, very good to hear you're collecting evidence, because of course that's the thing we really need. There is so many areas that there are questions. You know, I was talking to somebody about cannabinoids yesterday, and you know, the number of potential combinations there are of circumstances that we don't know whether you have, what the balance should be between the different cannabinoids, what the dosages should be, what situations they apply in, whether they're as much help to men as they are to women, whether they should be used for children. You know, there's just so many questions there that need answering. And so the more people are actually gathering facts from real world situations, the better, really.
Right.
So, thank you very much. We're going to leave it there. Thanks so much for speaking to us today, Dimple. It's just really interesting for me to hear about a similar enterprise going on. You're trying to do similar work over there in such a different cultural environment, and on quite a different scale too to us. So, really interesting.
Thank you, Robin. I think after going through this journey, I realized that there's so much that we can do in cancer care. And whatever small contribution that you are able to do, it's going to help somebody, it's going to save someone's life, and there is nothing more important than that.
Right.
And if I can put my experience, passion, compassion, and degree to some good use to help somebody, then I have done my, fulfilled my purpose to this life. Because we don't know how much time we have, but we know that, okay, whatever time we have, we're going to make the best out of it. And like Mother Teresa says that we can do no big things, no great things, but small things with great love. And it's the people's love that helped me to come this far, to build these two wonderful organizations that are able to provide support to patients. It's Michael's mentoring. It's a direction that he gave me when I didn't know where to start and what to do. So I've been receiving these blessings and love all across, and I'm really grateful for it. So,
Fantastic. Well, you're doing some marvelous stuff. So all power to you. So thanks very much indeed, Dimple.
Thank you so much, Robin. Yeah, it's a pleasure talking to you, and just spread this message of hope and love to cancer patients.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
Fascinating to meet someone who has set out to tackle the same problems but within a different culture. It's also instructive to see how, despite the deep cultural differences, some of the obstacles to the establishment of integration are all too familiar. Over the coming weeks, several of the shows will feature material and expert guests relevant to our forthcoming conference on the 24th of September, Finding a Deeper Connection. This conference is of a groundbreaking nature in that it's the first to focus attention on this crucial aspect of integrative medicine, which goes beyond addressing the requirements of the body and mind to highlight the need and the opportunity for wholeness of spirit, which can provide the ground for mental well-being and in turn can underpin quality of life and physical outcomes. Why is it that so many speak about a diagnosis of cancer as the best thing that ever happened to them? Listen in the coming weeks to find out more, and also visit the event website by going to yestolife.org.uk and clicking the button on the rotating banner right at the top of the homepage when the conference details come around. There you'll be able to read all about the speakers and the event, as well as to book your place. Thanks so much for listening today. It's an absolute pleasure to be able to share exciting developments in the science and practice of integration with so many of you through speaking to pioneers from around the world on this show. I hope you'll be able to listen again next week when I'll be back with another Yes to Life show here on UK Health Radio. Goodbye.